Long before COVID-19 changed so much of how we interact with each other, Dr. Vivek Murthy, the former U.S. Surgeon General under President Obama, had been on a mission to make us think of loneliness as a public health issue. A few years ago, he framed the condition of loneliness, which can reduce life expectancy, as an epidemic in the United States. Now, with so many of us unable to connect with friends and loved ones in person, how can we mitigate loneliness and its consequences? Dr. Vivek Murthy joins us now to help answer this. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Tanya. It's great to be with you.
Yes, doctor. So you declared some years ago loneliness as an epidemic. And when you frame it this way, it's not just a fleeting feeling of feeling disconnected, but as a public health crisis. Can you explain more of what you mean?
Despite my own experiences, my personal experiences with loneliness, despite having seen so much of it in the healthcare setting, what I had not fully understood was that loneliness is associated with an increased risk of heart disease, of premature death, of dementia, depression, anxiety, sleep disturbances, and the list goes on. And I found that when I talked about loneliness as a public health concern, that it struck people as unusual. They would often say, isn't the job of a Surgeon General to talk about tobacco or to talk about obesity or other traditional topics? And my response was always that when you understand just how profound the health impacts of loneliness are, when you understand, in fact, the opposite as well, which is how profound the health benefits of social connection are, then it's hard not to consider loneliness and social connection an important public health concern.
I want to ask you in the context of this moment that we're in, many people are calling it the new normal. I'm just wondering from you, doctor, are we normalizing these new ways that we're isolated in ways that could impact us health-wise? What are the negative health impacts of sustained loneliness or social distance in the context of the moment that we're in right now? Because we're experiencing it in ways that we have never had before. I mean, typically we've been able to at least have human connection via work or via school, those types of things.
You know, I think if we do nothing differently in our lives, if we allow this pandemic to just further separate us more and more, my worry is that we will bring upon ourselves what I think of as a social recession marked by growing loneliness and a sense of disconnection from others. But I think that we can, in fact, make a very different choice. We can choose the path not of social recession, but of social revival, and can use this moment to ask ourselves where we want people to fall in our priority lists. We can use this as a chance to double down on our relationships and our commitment to the people we really care about. And the reason this matters so much is because for many of us, and I would put myself right at the top of the list, there has been a gap between our stated priorities and our lived priorities. If you have asked me at any point over the last 20, 30 years, Vivek, what are your priorities in life? I would inevitably tell you that it was people, that it was my mother, my father, my sister, and then later years, it was my wife and my kids. But if I ask myself, how was I actually living my life? What priorities were reflected in how I was spending my time, attention, and energy? The truth was work was my real priority.
Oh, and doctor, singing my song, okay? Yes. I think so many of us have that where, I mean, our stated priorities versus what we live every day really come into focus, for sure.
That's right. And this is, you know, it's not a unique struggle. It's the struggle of the modern world. It's one that we live in a world that has told us in so many ways that we should achieve more, that we should strive to make impact, that we should build our careers. And none of those things are wrong. The question is, where does that fall relative to our priorities around people?
Well, your book, Together, The Healing Power of Connection in a Sometimes Lonely World, came out in the midst of all of this, in the midst of the pandemic and quarantine orders. And in it, you actually outline four strategies for people to overcome this crisis. And they're pretty prescriptive. Can you lay them out for us?
There's been a gap in my own life. And this pandemic and the whole journey over the last few years of exploring this topic of social connection and loneliness has made me realize there is that gap. And so how do we close that gap? Well, we don't have to just wait until after the pandemic is over, until we can see people in person to start closing that gap, we can actually start strengthening our connections right now. And there are a few simple ways I lay out in the book, a few steps among others that we can take to do this. So one of them is to make it a point to spend at least 15 minutes a day with people we care about. That could be on the phone. It could be a short video conference call. It could be writing to someone that we care about just to say, hey, I'm thinking of you and I want to know how you're doing. The second thing we can do is we can make it a point to make the time we do spend with people count. We can focus on the quality of time. And we can do that by eliminating distraction. Now, distraction abounds, right? Because we have phones in our pockets nearly at all times. It's so easy to pull them out and to check our email or social media or to check the news or the scores on last night's game when we're talking to other people. And we do this because we think we can multitask. The science is very clear that we don't actually multitask. We rapidly task switch in our brain. What that means is that when I'm looking at my inbox, I'm actually not fully hearing what someone else is saying. Even if I recall the words, I may have missed the nuance, the tone of their voice, the pause, which may have signaled that they were a little uncomfortable and wanted to talk more about that topic. And so quality time really matters. And if you want to know how to stretch time, the way you stretch time is with your focus, by concentrating on someone else. And one last one, a couple last things I just mentioned is that you can do to strengthen connections is, third, you can look for opportunities to serve. So whether you are helping a neighbor who may be struggling to get groceries during this pandemic crisis, whether you're having food delivered to a friend, whether you're offering to virtually babysit for 10 minutes for a friend who might be struggling to homeschool their children and also telework, there are many ways to serve during a time when so many of us are in need.
There's also a fourth one, and that's to embrace solitude. And this seems to be the opposite of building connection. What do you mean by this?
Solitude does not have to look the same in everyone's life. Solitude can just be, and it doesn't also have to take a lot of time. It's not necessarily a seven-day vacation or a seven-day retreat away from your family. Solitude can be a few minutes that we spend sitting on our front porch feeling the breeze against our face. Can be time with a piece of music that deeply inspires us, however we find our solitude. And when we approach other people from a place of being more centered and more grounded, you know what happens? We're more able to listen as opposed to constantly focusing on trying to be who they want us to be in conversation. And that enriches our connection.
Switching gears just slightly, I mentioned that you joined Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden in the call for wearing masks, and you were one of the top healthcare advisors to the Biden campaign. What would you like to see centered as we continue to live the realities of this pandemic? You've actually said that you don't believe that even with advancements in vaccines, that we won't return to any place of normalcy until 2022.
Yes, I think it's going to take a while for things to get back to where they were pre-pandemic. And even if we do have a vaccine, what has worried me is seeing public polls that show as of late July, early August, that a third of people are saying that if a vaccine was available today, they wouldn't take it. And because people have concerns, you know, at baseline, there's a very small segment of the population that has general concerns about vaccines. But more broadly with COVID-19, there are people who are wondering, is this going to be taken through a safe approval process? Is it going to be rushed through? Will there be politics involved in approving this vaccine? And we absolutely hope that won't be the case. In fact, it should be the case that science is what's guiding, like, our ability to approve this vaccine. And we have to make sure it is both effective and safe. Both are really critical.
There's so much to consider there. But ultimately, when we think about building practices to stay connected in the long haul as we go through all of these changes, what's your takeaway advice?
This whole subject, Tanya, of social connection and loneliness is really about the quest to build a people-centered world that is powered by love. And if I look at everything that I have learned over the years about medicine and public health, it has become clear to me that there are few things more powerful than the power of love to help us heal, to help us rebuild and to renew. And so that, to me, is at the heart of what this is all about. But I also think that this is how we are built as human beings. And if we can use this pandemic as an opportunity to take stock of our lives and to recommit to building the kind of people-centered life, then I think there are good things in store for us. It is those connections, our human connections, that are the foundation on which we build everything else.
That's Dr. Vivek Murthy, former U.S. Surgeon General under the Obama administration, advisor to presidential nominee Joe Biden, and author of Together, The Healing Power of Connection in a Sometimes Lonely World. Dr. Murthy, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much, Tanya. So nice to be with you.